Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. I'm very excited to do a different kind of podcast for us today. Usually we talk to singers and musicians and people who are involved on that side of the music industry, but today we're going to go kind of to the other side and talk more about research and some data with Ken Benson from P1 Media Group. Hi, Ken. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Hi, Ken. Thanks for having me today.
Happy to have you on. Ken is a renowned programming, research, and marketing executive, led the Pinnacle Media International team, conducted research for radio and media clients across four continents, a multi-award-winning contemporary hit radio programmer. His career includes a vice president of music programming for MTV, executive programming positions at Chancellor, AM/FM, and Citadel, and oversight for over 250 radio stations. Wow. Did I get all that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm still going. I'm not worn out or tired from all that just yet. So here we go.
So you're with P1 Media Group. Can you sort of explain who they are and what you do?
Sure. P1 Media Group is a team of former major market radio programmers who took the leap to the research side of the business. And now we consult stations through research on strategy, on music, on marketing, on promotion, with the goal to maintain and increase their market share. Because as you know, in the commercial radio world, the higher number of listeners you have, the bigger the ratings they have, the more money you can get for your advertising. So that is what we do. We help stations hopefully optimize and maximize their success.
And part of that is testing songs. Can you sort of explain what it means to test a song?
Sure. This probably started, I understand, probably around 1980, where prior to that, radio in the U.S. did little to no research, and somebody had an epiphany one day that maybe we should ask listeners what songs they like to listen to and which ones they don't. And they started doing things called music tests, where you'd get a representative sample of listeners to a certain format and target, and you'd play them hundreds of clips of songs, just short clips, 8 to 10 seconds long, and ask people to tell us whether or not they were familiar with them, how much they either liked or disliked it. And sometimes people would ask, is it a song you still enjoy hearing, or maybe you're tired of hearing it? And then stations would use this data along with instinct to create their playlist and determine what they're going to play for their audience, with the goal, again, to maximize the audience, because at the end of the game, it's a commercial enterprise and you're looking to monetize that audience into revenue.
How does testing the songs differ from songs that are best-selling or today even most streamed? I mean, I know from your description of it, I get that difference, but as far as deciding what song to play, testing a song versus seeing songs that are selling or streaming on Spotify or YouTube, what's the difference there?
That's something we've added to our annual Christmas research just a couple years ago, really at the suggestion of our partner in this, which is MRC Data, which controls BDS Radio, which monitors the airplay of hundreds and hundreds of stations around the country, as well as Canada, and then all the streaming services as well. So they came to us and said, hey, listen, you know, we're seeing, or at least it appears, not just with Christmas music, that radio is not necessarily aligned with what sometimes the most streamed songs are. And they suggested that we also look at the most streamed songs and see if there was any difference, if radio was perhaps missing these songs that were big in streaming and not played on the radio. And that was really the genesis to take a few years ago.
I know that when I started the Sounds of Christmas station on our little player, I had and it's not very scientific at all, but I had, there was a little thumbs up icon and a little thumbs down icon, and people could vote. And I used that to sort of do something similar to what you're talking about, gauging which songs were liked more by our listeners and which weren't. But the problem that I had was that fans of shows like American Idol or New Singers would flood in when a certain artist was playing, and I would get, you know, hundreds of thumbs up for this singer, but they didn't stop there. They would then hit thumbs down on everything else. And it seemed like, okay, well, this is now becoming worthless data. What do you do to prevent that kind of thing? Or is that even a consideration?
No, you know, of course, I think when a lot of radio stations began streaming, they had a similar thumbs up, thumb down. Some certainly still have that. It gives the audience an opportunity and a feeling that they can participate and make their voices heard when songs are playing. But like any data, you have to know who's in the sample, right? Are they qualified to be in sample? And what does that data really mean? Is it useful and helpful? And as you quickly found out for yourself, that there was so much bias built into the way people treated that tool, which had great intentions, that data for you is really useless.
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely was. So when you test, do you do this remotely? Is this testing online? Is it in a central location?
Yeah. So yeah, the way our Christmas research works is every year around late October, we go into the field. We devise a sample from the 50 largest radio markets in the United States. And we qualify these people that they're between the ages of 18 and 54 years old. They tell us they listen either frequently or sometimes to an all Christmas music station in their local markets during the holiday season. And then we play a Christmas montage, and we ask them to rate their personal enjoyment of Christmas music on a local radio station. And they have to rate that 7, 8, 9, or 10 on a 1 to 10 scale. So what we're looking for is radio listeners and people that really enjoy Christmas music and also use a local Christmas music station during the holiday season, when most stations, or at least a couple stations in most markets, go all Christmas.
I can almost hear ears perking up everywhere when you say that, and people probably wondering, how can I be part of this? How can I make my voice heard on this? Is there a way that people can volunteer, or is it more of a random kind of thing that you set up?
Yeah, no, we use several different companies that have email research databases that we go pay these people in markets around the country that, again, fit this criteria that we have to qualify. And the whole purpose for that is to eliminate and significantly reduce all the biases that, you know, you've experienced with your thumbs up and thumbs down.
Right.
And remarkably, we see tremendous consistency from year to year with the 40 most songs. I mean, obviously there's a few that come in, a few that go out each year. The ranks may change a little bit, but you know, for instance, thinking back at least 5, 6, or 7 years now, Jingle Bell Rock by Bobby Helms, which is a really old song, is number one in our research every single year.
Wow, that's amazing. And it's funny, I will throw that out as an example sometimes when I'm talking to artists about their new music, and I will use that as an example because it's one that always leaps to mind. I had no idea that was the most popular, and the most popular version of that song, because I know Hall & Oates had a really popular version of that as well.
Well, that one also usually finishes in the top 10. So it's just a really well-liked song.
So you compiled this list, the top testing Christmas songs, and this was around the beginning of November that this was released. So it was a couple months ago, and it was the data from Christmas 2020 going into 2021, and your list had 62 songs on it. I know that's a whole lot of numbers I just threw out, but...
Ken, what we do is we, from... Again, MRC data in the BDS radio airplay charts, they give us a list of the most played Christmas songs on U.S. radio for the entire year of 2020. And there's many, many songs, you know, sure, well over 1,000 songs that have been played. But, you know, the spins vary considerably. I mean, the top song, and I've got, I don't remember off the top of my head, but there will be tens of thousands of songs. And then you get to the bottom, it could be a few spins. So it varies dramatically. So we take the top 40 most played songs. And then what we do is we take the top 40 most streamed songs. Now, of course, some of the songs are on both lists, so we don't check them twice. And that's why maybe this past year we had 62 songs. It could vary a few songs year to year. But what we're looking for among the radio audience is the radio audience have some appetite, and is radio potentially missing or underplaying some of the songs that are really popular on the streaming charts? And that's really the goal. And of course, we provide this as a free service to the radio industry to help them formulate their Christmas playlist. Because I believe historically, I mean, you know, if we go back 20 years, there was very few radio stations in America going all Christmas.
Right.
I would say in the last 10 years, maybe 15, certainly with the advent of the ratings technology shifting from a diary recall method to what's called the portable people meter, which is a detection system that monitors airplay through something that looks like a pager. And what we've seen or experienced early on is that it's stations that went all Christmas music shot up in the ratings during the holiday period. So naturally, as this happened, more and more stations saw success in different cities around the country and followed suit. So all of a sudden, Christmas became a format on FM radio in nearly every market in the country. And in, I would say many markets now, a minimum of two stations, if not three or four,
sure,
are doing all Christmas during this period because it can generate a really tremendous listening result.
Now, on your list, one of the things that you sort of singled out is that you said the data suggested that there were nine songs that could be played more on the radio. These nine, I don't know if these were songs that stations weren't playing, but they tested really well and you were pointing them out. Was that it?
What we did is out of the stream songs we played, which was, I guess, 22 unique songs in 2020, right? Mm-hmm. We look at those and say, okay, they obviously tested within the top 40, or sorry, charted within the top 40 of all the streams in America for 2020. And then we played those songs for radio listeners. There was eight or nine songs that tested significantly better than songs they were playing. For instance, if we look at Nat King Cole, Deck the Halls, it was one of the top 40 most streamed songs, but on the airplay chart, its rank was 1,119.
Wow.
So way down there.
Yeah.
Which, as you said, most stations aren't touching that record. But the streams were in the top 40 of all the stream songs. And when we tested, it tested, I don't remember the exact ranking, but of the 62 songs we tested, it tested with very playable scores. So we raised the question, hey, is radio missing this? Should radio consider this, and should radio play this more? And based on the data we got from these radio listeners in 50 radio markets, it certainly suggests, yes, it could be played more and probably should be played more.
And there were, like you said, eight or nine songs. Michael Bublé, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, and It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas. Both of those from him were maybe not as significant as Nat King Cole, but in the same kind of boat.
Correct. So, yeah, I mean, and I think, you know, sometimes too, I mean, what we've certainly seen over the years is the Christmas classic titles, songs like White Christmas, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas, Jingle Bell Rock. Those classic songs is what I call them, the classic Christmas titles, do well. And anybody who's listened to an all Christmas FM station, the playlists tend to be fairly tight. And there's a lot of repetition. And really, there's many artists that have covered these songs. So I think what it's saying is people love the song, no matter who's really done it. And you can rotate a number of different versions of the same song to at least add some variety to a rather tight playlist of Christmas songs.
Yeah, I know a good friend of the Sounds of Christmas station is a singer-songwriter, Elizabeth Chan. And I remember her saying a few years ago, she was really excited because there was a station in New York that added one of her songs, and they were only adding five songs that year. And I know there are there are hundreds of Christmas songs that come out every year. Believe me, I know, because they send them to me. But it is, it does show, speak to what you're saying, that most stations do have a pretty tight list and a lot of the new stuff doesn't get in. Is, did you find in your research that, for want of a better term, standards were definitely taking up most of the space against current songs?
Yeah, it certainly appears that way, that the standard classic songs continue to do very well, no matter who records them, unless it's a really unusual version that's deviates too far from the original. If I was a record producer or worked in the record business and was directing an artist on maybe what type of Christmas song to record, they probably have a far better shot doing a standard Christmas song as opposed to an original Christmas song. Really, the last bona fide smash hit Christmas song is All I Want for Christmas from Mariah Carey, right, which was recorded in 1994, which is crazy. I mean, it's coming up, you know, on almost 30 years.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a few others that have snuck through since then, certainly not at Mariah Carey's level. Probably most recently, the song from Kelly Clarkson, Underneath the Tree, has gotten some traction, continues to build every year. But what we're finding is clearly there's a reluctance to play or add too many original songs, because first off, you don't know if they're going to be accepted or not, right? And it takes a tremendous commitment. And it's no different from another format, whether it's country or, let's say, an adult contemporary or a pop station taking a chance on a new record. There's a big investment to get that song familiar, whether or not you know it's going to be a hit. And I think part of the conservatism in building a Christmas playlist stems from, you know, what does Christmas do? I mean, Christmas is something that is a time of memories and reflection and fun and feel good and family and, you know, a party to some extent, that having that accompaniment of songs you've listened to your entire life and are very familiar, you know the words to every song, it is a much more comfortable experience. So I think, you know, as far as the big radio stations go, the gateway to getting a new song on the playlist one year is extremely tight and limited with a very high bar. Like you said, they may take a chance on a handful of songs, but, you know, even Kelly Clarkson, which has been around, I think, since around 2010 or 2012, I mean, it's doing better, but it still hasn't reached its pinnacle yet. I think that's still to come. It just takes so long for these new songs to develop and build that familiarity and comfort and an audience that would accept them as easily as Frosty the Snowman.
Right. And Kelly's song Underneath the Tree has a lot of that Phil Spector wall of sound kind of thing to it. So it sounds like something Ronettes or something like that from years ago, and that might have helped kind of get it in. I know when I was at a radio station in Cincinnati, it was much more likely that we would play Hootie and the Blowfish version of the Christmas song, which is a song everybody knew, and they were one of the top bands of the moment. So it was a voice that our audience knew singing a song that they knew. Much more likely that we would play that than something that I don't know what this song is.
Yeah, well, what was interesting, already seeing the data for 2021, there's a song by pop artist Sia called Snowman that had over 99 million streams last year in the US, which would have landed at number 13 on the chart for all the streamed Christmas songs, which is remarkable. On the US Airplay chart, it ranked number 238 with only 1,084 spins. So certainly that's one that will, you know, if we use the same criteria, we'll get tested next year. It'll be very interesting to see how that one tests. I would predict with this radio audience that we test, it probably won't do very well because it's very unfamiliar. But with that type of streaming numbers, it's certainly one of interest and certainly could potentially be a bigger Christmas song over the years, much like Kelly Clarkson continues to build and gain a little more traction each year.
Wow, 99 million streams. That's
right. Crazy.
Wow. Yeah. I was going to ask if you noticed any consistency from year to year. You said that there were about 40 songs that are pretty much on the list every year.
Yeah, the songs on the radio list don't change too much. You know, we did see a few new entries this year. And part of the reason, too, we look at streaming is because it may bring new songs and or at least bring songs for radio to consider because they're being streamed so much on other platforms. So I think, you know, a few of the new entries on the list this year was Eartha Kitt's version of Santa Baby. You know, for whatever reason, Madonna's version made the list last year. So there's not a big distinction there. I'll give you another example of a newer song. And newer, again, we're talking over 20 years old, is Faith Hill's Where Are You Christmas, which was in the Jim Carrey movie, The Grinch.
Right.
And featured on that soundtrack. But that one seems to be gaining some traction, both as far as their testing goes and in radio airplay. But again, that's an original song, right? And it just speaks to the point that it takes so long for an original Christmas song to gain acceptance and then popularity. You know, it's a long time coming. So those are just a couple of examples of things that we saw enter the list in 2021.
There are a couple things that surprised me on the list. First, that there's no Mannheim Steamroller.
That's correct. You know, I think... again, only my own perception here in Mannheim Steamroller, and coincidentally, what's the main guy? Chip David or Chip?
Chip Davis, yeah.
I actually, when I was programming radio years ago in Omaha, Nebraska, his ex-wife was their marketing director. So, you know, it's certainly an artist I'm well aware of. You know, I think they probably had their best days and were most relevant probably in the 90s, right? And for whatever reason, you know, sometimes I hear some of their music in Christmas promos or used because it's primarily instrumental.
Yeah.
Maybe it's all instrumental. I don't know. So I do hear it, but it's not something I see show up at least on the top of any of these lists.
The other thing that kind of surprised me is a song that did show up on there. Dean Martin, Baby It's Cold Outside. There had been so much flack about that song in the news the last few years, and then to see that despite all of that, people still like it.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I think that began in 2018 when the Me Too movement came about, and people are saying, oh, the lyrics there are degrading to women, and a couple of stations, I think a station in Cleveland was the first to boycott it, which I think they probably did for a publicity stunt more so than the sure. record, right? So we tested the original version again, it met the criteria why it should have been tested, and it's been tested every year since, and it continues to test playable. I know there's been some other duets that have covered the record since then. They've made some modifications to the lyrics, but it certainly says, even though it's more of a seasonal record, I think, than really a Christmas record, but it's kind of under that Christmas umbrella, that it certainly says that the audience that likes Christmas music and listen to Christmas radio accept the song.
Yeah, I saw that on there and I thought that was very interesting. This was that it's Dean Martin, because Dean's music doesn't get played that often anymore. So to see that a Dean Martin song is testing well, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And it's just remarkable too, how many of the songs on the charts from the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, continue to be some of the most popular Christmas songs in America. And again, we're testing the ages of 18 to 54. So we're not testing, you know, 75, 80 year old people that actually grew up with these artists. These songs have just carried down and they're timeless.
Yeah. If I remember right, I think the oldest song on the list was Gene Autry, Here Comes Santa Claus, which was a 1940s song. There were a couple of others from the 40s. No, it was Bing's White Christmas was... first version of that was older, but yeah, it does show that these songs are forever. People still want to hear them now, and I think that's terrific. All of this info that we've been talking about was going into this past Christmas from data collected from the year before. When will you be compiling the data from this past Christmas, from Christmas 2021?
What we do is, you know, we go out again, do a basically replicate what we've done in the prior years. So it's the same sample construction and design and qualification that we've had in previous years. And we update the list, as we talked about earlier, based on these BDS airplay and streaming charts in the US. And then we go to the market, usually in very late October, early November, because some stations are actually even flipping all Christmas in October. Right. The vast majority seem to be at least a week or two into November. And certainly if you're going to go by Thanksgiving, everyone has gone all Christmas. So we try and time our research so we can release it for most stations to at least look at it and decide if they want to use this at all in their playlist decisions.
The Sia song that you mentioned that had the 99 million streams, was that the biggest surprise for you, or was there something else?
You know what? It came as a complete and total surprise. I had a few calls from some different record companies, and this was from an artist manager that called me and was asking some questions about the previous year's list and informed me that Sia was number 13 on the most streamed list in 2021 in America. And I was dumbfounded because, frankly, I'd never heard the song. I'm like, well, that's absolutely going to qualify. And we're going to be testing that come late October of 2022.
This has all been very interesting. For somebody like me who loves Christmas music, I'm fascinated by this. And I hope that you'll come back this fall after you have your new list, and we'll find out how Sia did and if there are any surprises from this past Christmas.
I'm going to come back like those classic Christmas TV shows that come around every year. And the other thing we didn't even touch on, because we could talk about this all day, but we won't. But the songs from those classic Christmas shows, and many of them are from the 60s, right?
Right.
Whether it's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or Mr. Grinch or Linus or Charlie Brown's Christmas. Those songs from those soundtracks remain very powerful and extremely relevant and test very well year after year after year. So again, maybe we could save some of that for the next conversation. But Ken, thank you so much for inviting me to talk about Christmas music, something I personally love as well. And glad to share some information.
Thank you so much for joining us. This was terrific. I look forward to talking to you again. And thank you so much for listening, helping us share some Christmas spirit, and for helping this podcast continue to grow. Since you're listening to this now, you've obviously found us somewhere. But if there's another site you like to use for podcasts, check out our podcast page on our website for the complete list of everywhere you can listen to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. And again, the website is soundsofchristmas.com. Then just click on the podcast tab. For the Sounds of Christmas station, to listen to the music, you'll need to stick with our website or our app in the Google Play Store. If you have comments or suggestions, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through our website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.